From Radio Sausalito in beautiful Sausalito, California, I'm Mitchell Field, and you are on the field trip. Welcome to The Field Trip, a few minutes of conversation each week with some of the most interesting people in the Bay Area. I talk to artists and writers, actors, directors, musicians, some of the characters who make the Bay Area a fun and a fabulous place to live. So let's get right to it. On this week's Field Trip, the second part of my interview with actor Mark Margolis. Margolis is currently starring in the lead role at Berkeley Rep in the Tony Kushner play, The Intelligent Homosexual's Guide to Capitalism and Socialism with a Key to the Scriptures. So, Mark, tell me, what's it like to be an actor and to be moving around the country and around the world all the time? It's not like a guy with a 9-to-5 job.
I seem to be home a lot. You have a different view. And people say to me, what's your favorite film? I'd say, my favorites are the one where they take me to a foreign country. They're kind of required to fly you first class, put you in a 5-star hotel, and give you per diem every day. It's quite wonderful. I often arrange for them to fly my wife with me. So we hardly ever go on vacations because I count those as vacations that are paid for by producers. There was a wonderful, I did a film for Ridley Scott that very few people have seen, which is a gorgeous film with Gerard Depardieu and Frank Langella and Armand Assante and Sigourney Weaver, called 1492 Conquest of Paradise. It's about Columbus. It came out in 92 and got a marvelous trip to southwestern Spain where we shot a lot of it, and then to Costa Rica where we did the New World scenes. And that was just absolutely wonderful. I've been to about 12 countries around the world through films, and probably about, 15 different states and Canada. That's always wonderful.
Well, you mentioned your wife. Let me congratulate you on your recent anniversary.
Yeah, 52 years. We're kind of playing with a full deck.
So let's talk about The Intelligent Homosexual.
I haven't seen the play yet. You need to wait until I see it.
I've seen it a lot, let me tell you. It's pretty good.
I only do theater nowadays when it's absolutely irresistible, the play. 2 years ago, did a play in which I played Bernie Madoff in upstate New York during the summer, and that was irresistible. I love the fact that I'm playing a blue-collar guy who has a pretty terrific mind, and I have a mind that's half decent. My father was a blue-collar man with an incredible mind. It kind of resonates there for me. I considered a blessing that somebody asked me to play a character that had a great intelligence, that they trusted me with it.
Here's a quote from you. I put a lot of work into what I do quietly. No one knows what I'm doing. It takes practice. I guess you could call it like a musician, like Picasso. As they got older, they tried to do what they did with fewer strokes.
I remember saying that. I don't remember the other. Yeah. I tried, less is more, especially in acting. I don't do too much until I feel sure of myself, especially in this play, which has such incredible language. I remember I read a quote by Anthony Hopkins where he said that he can't really do the thing until he knows the lines up, down, backwards, and forwards, and then he's free. Lee Strasberg used to say, the lines are your enemies. Go to the what's really happening, forget about the words, which I often do also, because he's right with that. But in this play, until you get comfortable with the language and understand what you're saying and why you're saying it.
They've also put some terrific actors around you in this show.
I have never been in a play in my life where everybody was so terrific. Everybody in this play, I'm blown away by how terrific they are. It's an incredible play. the issues that it gets into and the issues it brings up and the ideas. It's filled with great ideas. There was a reviewer who mentioned something that I thought was really smart. He said, you know, because Gus has these issues about possibly having Alzheimer's, and the reviewer said that the whole country seems to have a degree of Alzheimer's nowadays. Well, that was a smart statement in terms of what we're kind of overlooking and forgetting. It's a national dementia. Gus has these lapses that concern him, that concern me. Stella always said, don't say him, say me, because you're talking about yourself, which... That brings me back to Stella Adler. She was always very big on theater of ideas. I mean, you know, great theater can alter people's perception, and great ideas alter your perception. I think there's a gold mine of perception-altering ideas in this play. This is what I became an actor for. In fact, I said, if I die in the next couple of weeks, I'll die satisfied having done this, at least career-wise.
Well, I did want to mention that Tony Taccone has put a great cast around you. You've got a great local actress, Randy Danson, who's an Obie Award winner. There's the great Anthony Fusco, a Bay Area theater goers know him. Lou Liberatore, who's a Broadway actor and a Tony Award nominee. There's some really great people in this show, and I urge people to see it. Let's do some quick some quickies. Are the movies better than ever, or are they worse?
I don't know. When I was a kid in the 60s, I spent all my time at the Bleecker Street Cinema in New York going to see Fellini and Antonioni and Godard and Kurosawa and all those great directors. For me, I rarely go to the movies because it's all comic book stuff nowadays. They seem to be only interested in coming out with some comic book blockbuster that makes, you know, $300 million. So I don't know. I'm not a film aficionado like some people. I once in a while go to see something that's I think is quite marvelous. But they're few and far between. I mean, they're mostly aimed at the younger audience, like between 18 and 27, and they want to see comic book stuff. I go to art galleries nowadays and see what looks like biker art or comic books. Maybe I'm just getting old and the world is changing in a different direction. It doesn't satisfy me.
Who's the easiest actor you ever worked with?
I never went by easiest. There were a couple of actors that I worked. I've worked with a lot of stars, and they're all good. There were a couple actors that blew me away. I was so impressed. I worked in The Tailor of Panama with Jeffrey Rush, and I was just blown away by what he puts out. I did a table reading of Darren Aronofsky's The Fountain with Cate Blanchett. She later dropped out of it because Brad Pitt dropped out of it. And I was blown away just by what she did at a table reading. There was more in her table reading than most actors can bring to a film or a play after 6 months of working on it. But I don't know what it means by easy. I've never had problems with... In my whole life, I had a problem with only one person, a film star who I don't want to mention. But they said he was using a lot of medication at that time. He had gotten old.
Go ahead.
An actor who I've always loved, too. So it was a terrible experience.
If you could star in a remake of a classic film, who'd you want to play?
I was in a theater production of Casablanca, and I loved that. And Michael Christopher got the rights to and directed. And it was marvelous. I mean, the whole theater was Rick's Cafe. I'd love to be in La Strada, but I couldn't do what Anthony Quinn did in that.
How do you feel about the colorization of movies? Do you care?
What's colorization?
You know, taking black and white movies and making them into color.
I think that's not a great idea. I mean, Pi, in fact, was done in black and white. I hope no one ever colorizes it. In fact, Nebraska, which just came out recently, and it was my favorite movie of that year and won no awards. And that was in black and white. I don't want to see Casablanca colorized. Bogart mostly looks good in black and white.
Mark, if Oscars were for sale, how much would you pay for one?
I don't have any interest in buying an Oscar. It's all apples and oranges. How come they don't have who's the best painter of the year award, in which, you know, some competition between Matisse and Picasso? They've never had that. There is a competitiveness among artists, but, you know, it's like I live in New York City, and once a year I see a banner stretched across 7th Avenue, and it'll say, like, Cy Greenberg, Garment Center's Man of the Year. What the hell does that mean? His sports jackets are better than the next guy's sports jacket, and according to who? That's what I mean. How do you do that?
Well, sadly, I'm out of time again this week, so let's make that part two of my interview with Mark Margolis. Unfortunately, part three, which I will air next week, will be after Mark has finished in The Intelligent Homosexual's Guide to Capitalism and Socialism with the Key to the Scriptures, which continues at Berkeley Repertory Theatre through June 29th. I urge you to go see him in it. He is wonderful. It is wonderful. For all the information you need, go to berkeleyrep.org. Well, thanks for joining me on the field trip today. I welcome your views and comments on the show, as well as your suggestions for future guests. My email address is mitchellfield@radiosausalito.org. The theme music you hear behind me is the tune Superjet, with the fabulous Marin sax man Noel Jukes up front. It's from the recording The Noel Jukes Quartet, featuring Matt Clark. Please remember that the field trip can be heard Wednesdays at the top of every hour at 1610 on your AM radio dial in Southern Marin, countywide on Wednesdays at noon on cable channel 26, anytime on your computer at radiosausalito.org, and 24 hours a day as a free podcast from the iTunes Store. If you liked today's show, please tell your friends, and if you didn't, well, please tell your enemies. So till next time, this is Mitchell Field saying goodbye, good luck, and see you next week.